Today's show brought to you in part by Adelphi Racing Club. Adelphi is a racing club of like-minded people who enjoy racing and the camaraderie of being part of something bigger than themselves, a true horse racing community. Adelphi's founding partners of all owned horses and other partnerships and syndicates, as well as on their own. And the overarching goal with Adelphi is to blend the benefits of solo ownership without the hassles with the thrill of the partnership experience. Adelphi offers an interactive ownership experience with real-time access to other partners, trainers, bloodstock advisors, and other members of the team. Partners will receive frequent multimedia content on their horses, including videos, photos, and partner-only podcast content provided by us right here at In the Money Media, as well as premium on-track and off-track hospitality experiences. Adelphi has an exciting class of yearling prospects. You've heard about some of them on this show already. By horses like Street Sense, Lauban, Frosted, and Taprit. And Adelphi will be launching a brand new claiming and private purchase partnership this very month. You'll hear more about that soon. Join the club, AdelphiRacing.com. Hit up Matt from Adelphi, who you've heard on these airwaves, Matt at AdelphiRacing.com, or on social, on Insta at Adelphi underscore racing, and on Twitter at Adelphi Club. Hello and welcome to the In the Money Players podcast. This is our show for Friday, January 5th, 14th, covering the races of Saturday, January 15th. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you in the Brooklyn Bunker once again and joined right away by a man who you're going to be seeing a lot of on the late week show. You already know him from his own eponymous podcast, from the work he does at NBC. Appreciated on his show this week. Did a fantastic job as always and mentioned that he was going to be here. TV's Matt Bernier from an undisclosed location in New England. How are things, my friend?
I'm good, Pete. Trying to stay warm, looking forward to some racing action this weekend. You and I were just chatting. No graded stakes, but we do have quality racing from coast to coast. And yeah, looking forward to doing this really from now on, going it forward, taking a look at some racing for the upcoming weekend.
Yeah, we conceived it as sort of a chance for us to look at whatever the big races are, a couple of them, wherever they might be. Many instances, it'll probably be stuff that we cover elsewhere on the network. But this week, I thought your instinct was right to look out to Santa Anita, not only because there is this mandatory pick six payout on Saturday. We will be covering that in a special show. Michael Domable and I will be dropping that. It's actually going to be a free preview of In the Money Plus. We've got some big stuff happening on the In the Money Plus side, not quite ready to make the announcement, but should be an announcement by the end of the month about some more great content. Folks are going to want to get involved, but as an opportunity to see what In the Money Plus is all about, we're going to do that show. But right here, we're going to talk about three of the races, starting with this eighth race at Santa Anita on Saturday. What are we looking at, Matt, and how did you see it?
6.5 going down the hill, the Sunshine Millions Philly and Mare Turf Sprint. I thought this was the most challenging of the three races. I think you can look outside the logical runners, although I will acknowledge I do think Warren Showtime is probably the horse to beat in here. I thought her run three starts back going down the hill was really impressive. That late turn of foot, you're going to be hearing from her again. Whether she gets up in time or not, that remains to be seen. I think you also want to look at Legs Galore. You can understand why she is arguably the speed of the speed. I think she has one way to go. That's right to the front. And the question is, can she A, hang on at 6.5 down the hill, and B, will the other speed involved kind of cook her goose early on? The horse I landed on, and again, it's not the strongest push, but I think you might get the price on the 4, Nardini. I think this is a horse who has done some good work in the past against comparable company. You take a look at that run two starts back in Solana Beach. She was really unfortunate not to win that day. I know that was at a mile at Del Mar, but she ran into Warren Showtime there that day. There were a couple other mares in that race as well. And the comeback effort up at Golden Gate, while she did have a beautiful trip, perched 3-4 wide, she was pretty close to a swift pace for the Tapita. And she got run down by a horse who she'll also run into again here in this spot, Revelation, who rallied from dead last. I thought the race was a nice stepping stone to this spot. I don't think the 6.5 will be too much of an issue. And Nardini doesn't have to have the lead, but should be I would say 2 to 3 lengths off of all things when we hit the top of the lane. So hopefully I can get 6 to 1 or better on the 4 Nardini.
I like your long shot idea there with Nardini. I did not come up with her at first glance, but I like the trip that she's going to get. DeSormo still riding so well, should be in good position throughout and has a little bit of finish. I think that's a clever idea for sure. Were you going to try to include Warren's Showtime and Legs Galore in some capacity just for the notes that I'm going to put together for our plus listeners, or were you just all about the 4 in the spot?
Just Warren's Showtime. Legs Galore, I think she's going to be overbet. I know the outside draw going down the hill actually can work to your advantage because the first turn is to the right, but I'm not totally sold about the 6.5, and there is a little bit of other early speed in here. So the only two that I'm looking at are Nardini and Warren Showtime. Probably play Nardini to win if I get the price, and then a bit of a saver exactly with Warren Showtime on top.
I like that idea. I put Warren Showtime on top. Nothing clever, but we're looking at a graded stakes winner here. All class. Thought that that was a move into a hot pace last time and might just be better than these. My long shot idea, and this requires some imagination, but stick with me. I thought that the 3 super game was a little bit intriguing. Maybe as one who just ended up improving late in the 3-year-old year, now is a new 4-year-old. The last run, obviously, off the turf. But I thought it was a good race. And I thought that the race 2 back was also probably a little bit better than it looked, rated off a slow pace. That was a win 3 back. The barn's going well. And I think this horse is going to be all of the, I think it's 10-1 she has in the morning line. I think she'll be all of that. And was another price I wanted to have in the mix. I'm going to steal your idea with the 4 Nardini as well to mess around. And I probably will not sell Legs Galore too short either, just off the idea that that's the best speed and a good post. But I think the trying to get either the 3 or the 4 up in the number with those two logicals is likely to be my approach here in race number 8, this Sunshine Millions Filly and Mare Turf Sprint. Let's talk about race number 9, Matt. We still are in, obviously, this Sunshine Millions-esque series, Calbreds anyway, the Cal Cup Sprint, going 6 furlongs on the dirt, and we'll have you kick off this race as well. Who do you like in here?
Well, I mean, the race goes through Brickyard Ride. If he comes back off the bench in his best form or even in his B-plus form, probably simply too much for the rest of this group, you figure he's controlling speed, and not only is he controlling speed, he is proper speed. He is a breakneck kind of horse that goes right to the front, sets land speed records, come and catch me. I'd be lying if I said I didn't have concerns about him. I don't know that he's a slam dunk in here. He's far and away the most likely winner, but he has stopped on multiple occasions in races that really on paper he shouldn't. I don't want to hold the last two against him. They were against far better company. But I mean, you've got a couple of just allowance races in there where he spits the bit with an 1/8 of a mile to go at a really short price. I won't be stunned at all if he wins by 10. I also won't be surprised if he gets beat somehow. The horse that I want to pick and I'm going to play, I think the price will be right, is the 6, Let's Get Lucky. I think Let's Get Lucky is the kind of horse that we may not have seen his best just yet. He continues to improve. I think both of the runs at the end of 2021 were really solid. The comeback effort at Santa Anita against Calbreds and the N1X Company, thought he looked really good that day. Comes back against Open N1X Company. And for me, it was a combination of things. I think he was taking on better horses, but also I don't think he's truly a 6.5 type. I think this little turn back is going to work to his advantage. He's 2 for 3 going 6 furlongs, and he could really pull the perfect trip in here. If Brickyard Ride stops, maybe he doesn't inherit this thing, but I could see him sitting maybe 3rd, you know, a few lengths off of it. And really it's going to boil down to, again, does Brickyard Ride stop or does he just keep on going? If he stops, I think Let's Get Lucky can take advantage.
Will you be using Brickyard Ride in horizontals or are you full on against?
He's going to be such a heavy favorite in here that if I have any kind of trepidation, I think I have to pitch him and say, you know what, I'll take my chances. Again, acknowledging he is far and away the most likely winner, but I think he's going to be overbet compared to his actual chances of winning.
I don't necessarily disagree, but in a bet like this mandatory pick 6, it's one of those where I like your case on the 6, but if Brickyard Ride does stop, I can't really tell you who's going to win. I don't love the others who are going to catch money in here being the 4 and the 8. So maybe I'd have a backup line with a couple of long shots, but I think 80% of my horizontal play is going to run through Brickyard Ride. The work tab makes it look like he's ready for the return to the races. He sure looks to me the clear best speed, has the back races to handle these, won this race last year, has won at Santa Anita six times. I'm tempted to take more of a single and move on approach, though I certainly respect your long shot notion in that one. Let's talk about the nightcap, the anchor leg of this mandatory pick six payout. It is the California Cup Oaks with these three-year-old Calbreds going a mile on the turf. Matt, the key question, how are we going to get paid?
This is actually my favorite race of the day. I'm most looking forward to betting this one. I think this is, you have a beautiful opportunity where many of the horses who are going to take money, they're not head and shoulders better than the rest of the field. And you have some who are going to take a lot of money on their dirt merits, not their turf merits. So I think you can get a little bit more creative and look for horses with upside. I know I'm going to get the price that I want on the six Eleuthera. I assume that's how you pronounce it. Apologize if I'm saying it incorrectly, but she goes out for Ben Cecil. She's run on turf twice. The debut, she tried to rally into slow fractions, couldn't quite get there. Beaten by 4 1/4 lengths, might not look all that brilliant, but again, given the dynamics of the race, thought it was a nice starting off point. They tried a dirt sprint in her next start, draw a line through that. You come back in that maiden special weight, and no, she didn't win. But I thought Mario kind of fell asleep a little bit because the horse who won, I Got a Gal, made this big blitz to the front down the backside because they were just absolutely crawling out there. I think if Mario had been a little more aggressive, maybe Eleuthera actually wins that race as opposed to finishing second. The other piece that I love about her, the blinkers have gone on for this start. And again, you've got to do a little bit of guesswork here, but you take a look at her work tab. She had always been pretty consistent with her 5/8 drills and even her half miles, never did anything spectacular. I see the blinkers are coming on for this race on Saturday, and the most recent half mile drill was in 47-1, a decided change in the way that she's typically gone about things. I've had success with this move in the past. Doesn't mean it'll work here on Saturday, but I really like Eleuthera in here in the nightcap. I'm going to play her at 5-1 or better. She's 15-1 on the line. I think she has a really, really big chance to win this race.
Funny enough, we see it the same way. We're reading from the same hymn book on this one. Just a maiden, but two good turf runs with trouble both times. Second off the layoff in this spot. I think you're right about Eleuthera being live at a price. I was going to mix in with the three Vivacious Vanessa, looking to me to be the best closer potentially in a race with plenty of speed, has a solid debut number to build off of as well. And I think could get a little lost with a couple others having her on the form book, but you know, those, like you pointed out, dirt numbers. This one has license to move up on the turf. I will include Big Novel in my reckoning, just an obvious form and figure horse that's supposed to like turf on the bloodlines. I had it 6-3-1. Were there any others you wanted to mention in here, or are you just happy to go to bat with Eleuthera, assuming you get your price, which I think you will?
Well, I think Professor's Pride, merits some consideration. Again, I don't want to get tied into a short price on a horse trying something for the first time, especially a different surface. That doesn't really do much for me, but she is bred to handle the grass, so I'm not super concerned about that. But again, I wouldn't recommend getting tied into some really, really short price. Rose Dawson, I thought she looked okay breaking her maiden going shorter at Los Al. The problem is this is just not a positive move for Phil D'Amato. Past 3 years, dirt to turf, sprint to route, 1-38, and only 10 have hit the board. You've got a sub 20 cent ROI. So that's not a horse that I'm really all that thrilled by. The one that I wish she was drawn better is Vaping Angel. I think Vaping Angel is kind of sneaky in here. The outside draw, I think, is a real hindrance going this mile. But I love the fact that she's proven herself. Both times she's routed, she's won. Yes, she had a great setup in that Golden Gate race. But really, when you think about it, she earned that 60 buyer as a two-year-old in late October. Many of the girls that we've seen recently are earning 60s much more recently. I think there's a chance that Vaping Angel could improve. Again, the draw is enough to kind of turn me off. I would use her underneath, though, at a pretty fair price.
Good stuff, Matt. Well, this is great. We're going to be having you on as often as we can, looking at typically whatever the big races are over the weekend. Great to have you back on the late week shows. Folks can catch you on the Matt Bernier Show. Follow you on Twitter for all the other tipping you're doing on the sports betting side at Bernier_Matt. We'll see you on your show early week, and we'll see you here next week.
You got it, PTF.
Just a reminder that we're doing Gulfstream Park Players podcasts every Saturday and Sunday. We add some Fridays for the big weeks as well. Double D is on there. I have an alter ego on that show. I'm not PTF. I'm Pistol Pete. You're going to want to check those out. We have a lot of fun. JK pops in for the Saturdays. You'll find them in your regular feed. I'm just highlighting the content. I had some people not realizing. They were like, why aren't you covering Gulfstream? We are covering Gulfstream more than ever through our Gulfstream Park Players podcast. Check them out on the In the Money Media Network. Subscribe to our green feed, subscribe to our black feed, and you'll get them right to your device. Next up on the show, very happy to welcome back a man we haven't had on here often enough lately. Always enjoy his work, whether it's on his own StuCast or whether it's with our buddies over at the Odds Honest Truth. He's sitting in the dark. Hopefully nothing's wrong with our man, Alan Studer. Alan, how are things?
I'm sitting in the dark because I'm stewing over this big card at Naira this weekend. Hey, happy Eclipse Ward winning. That's so great for you. Congrats to you and Naomi. Shout out Naomi Tucker, the real brains of the project. But no congrats, doubt. Man. I haven't had a chance to really talk to you. I mean, you've been a busy guy, but you deserve it, bud.
Seriously. Wow, you're very kind. It was a real team effort and something, you know, to have our names on an award that's been won by so many luminaries. Absolutely just a great thing. Now I just got to see if I can fit into the tux that I have in my closet. Maybe I'll just rent a new one. That might be safer.
That's going to be a sight to see. Look out, folks.
The pre-pandemic tux might not cut it anymore.
I'll be watching just for that now, Pete.
Let's dive into these races. We're sort of on a breakneck pace on the show this week, just for the way that the scheduling worked out. We're going to talk about this $1 pick six. It kicks off in race number 4 with these 3-year-old fillies in the starter allowance ranks going 6 furlongs on the dirt. How do you see this one, my friend?
Yeah, and I'm going to approach it as a pick six sequence here. I'm going to give you my picks. I'm using 1, 2, 5, and 6 as A's. I'm going to spotlight the 6 here. I don't know what I want to do with this one. You know, Al Gold had some real success last year with his 2-year-old crop. You heard him on Bick. He's really pumped about most of the 2-year-olds coming out of his barn. I haven't seen this one since last June. So you don't know what you're getting, but you're getting a nice price. And like, when you watch a replay, that one like a sure thing at Monmouth, just going away, looked easy. This isn't, you know, we're not going against Secretariat here. So I want to see what the board thinks of this one. At a lower price, I'm less inclined to play. But if I get that 6-1 PTF, I'll throw it in there. But 1, 2, 5, 6 for me.
All right, 1, 2, 5, 6 with preference for the 6, it sounds like.
Well, 6, I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch. I think I'm going to get my 6-1, but if I get like 3-1, I'm backing away.
I have very similar numbers to you. Though interestingly, the 6 I did not have in the mix, but the other 3 were the ones that I had. I listed it 5, 2, and 1, was going to use them pretty equally. Tweaked, pretty easy winner on debut. I like that the stalk and pounce tactics work there. I think that's going to probably be the winning trip against this group. Ruski, I thought was interesting. Just one that maybe you could say is a little bit exposed in figure terms, but and this angle will come up later too. When the lone 2-time winner in the field and another one who I think should get the right kind of trip. And then Lady Milagro, form that ties in very closely with that second pick.
And going to be interesting, Pete, to see what happens between those two. You know, that December race, they were right at each other's throats, finishing 1-2, Lady Milagro losing in the last step there. I wonder if those pace dynamics change based on the 5 and some of the other speed. There is some speed in this race, so I wonder to see what they end up doing there.
So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out as we kick this pick 6 off, which we then continue to leg B, race number 5, the $16,000 claimers, 4 and up going 1 mile on the dirt. I went ahead and went with sort of a master of the obvious horse in number 3, Jerusalem Gates, big figure edge, which I'm guessing is going to be reflected in the price. Just too obvious to ignore, stretching back out to a distance where he's done his best running. And this is a Linda Rice runner. Linda was so cold, but has really shown some signs of life in the last 10 days or so. That is something I will monitor in terms of any runner she has earlier on the card to maybe press or use just like a horse. I was going to use Esor the 5 at a price, potential loan speed for a barn going well at the meet. And then the 6 Breaking Stones, yep, I thought was interesting. Should be in a good forward position, running the money at this level in the last 2 starts. How did you see race 5?
You know, I didn't like Esor as much as you. 3 and 6, I'm with you. I wanted to include the 9, though. Blame It on Brutus. E2 Brutai, our Roman fan.
Maybe like any Latin style reference is good on the show.
Yeah. I know it plays right into your wheelhouse. look, this 9, you think Mark Hennings here might take some money, but 4-1, this horse showed it last time out. But I mean, this is its 5th race. There might be more in the can here. And when you look at the siblings, when you do some of this pedigree work, you'll see there's some siblings. Broberg's got one that's ran in the 60s. And, you know, you're not going to need to be Flightline to win this race. There's a couple siblings that have shown some capability. I'll call it capability. I'm not going to call it talent because that's not what it is. But capability on the dirt. And I'll take a shot with the 9 thinking, including it, 3-6-9 for me. Maybe there's something more in the tank.
I have a prejudice against closing sprinters stretching out. And I'm not saying I'm right about it, but it's just one of those things I sort of knee-jerk and go, when I see them. This one, though, being by Blame, and you point out some pedigree power on the damn side, maybe I should take a second look at Blame It on Brutus in that spot. I'm writing you down 3-6-9, but should it be 9-6-3? How do you like it?
9-6-3, put it in that order.
Okay, we're going to go 9-6-3. For Allen in race 5. Race 6, we've got 4 and up quarter claimers going 1 mile on the dirt. And Allen, we're going to keep it with you.
All right. I'm going to go with a price here. It's not something you do. I mean, you like the chalk. I'm going with the inside here.
It's not always true.
Yeah, well, you're making JK blush now. Okay. I'm going Orbin the Tower here. I think this horse has not going to call it a fast horse because it's not always running fast. But when you look at time form, this one can get out of the gate, and it has to get out of the gate on the rail. This one is going to go, and I don't know who goes with them. However, you know, these kinds of races, I mean, we're 25 non-3L here. I mean, these races, somebody's going to step up for speed. And as a backup, I like just as much, it's mandatory. I think this one has the most stalking ability to be right behind. It's good. Whoever, even if the 1 doesn't go, I think the 3 sits right in the middle and has a little bit too much talent for this level. So I like the 3 and the 1 here.
All right, 1 and 3. I think Super John is interesting and could be one of the ones potentially vying for that lead. Very long layoff for Super John, but I think should get a good trip on or near, has back races that I think are going to be potentially good enough.
Certainly.
To tackle this race. You've got, only the second start as a gelding, first start in for a tag as a gelding, aggressive rider in Carmouche. I had Super John as one of my A's. The 4 Roman Empire I had in the mix, keep the Latin theme going, easier field than the first 2 starts as a gelding. And has the right kind of grinding running style, I think, to potentially get the job done in a spot like this. And then I did also use your number 3. It's Mandatory. Just an honest sort. I think we'll probably be against the flow again. But if the pace gets faster than I expect it will be, could at least run on for a piece. I'd have as more of a C type. I'd play the 6 and the 4 as A's with number 3 as a C in race number 6. Which brings us right to race number 7. Allowance types, 4 and up, filly and mare. 7 furlongs on the dirt this time around. And I had trouble with this race. I went ahead and put the 2, My Roxy Girl, as my top pick. Coming back quick for the new barn. Looks very well spotted, where she looks like probably the speed of the speeds. I did want to mention the 4 Primacy not particularly good when last seen, but thought that was a tricky trip against the flow. And I'm often going to be forgiving of a race that precedes a layoff like that one was. Fits on the form before that. One price that might be a little interesting is the 8 timed out. Still progressive. And those recent races, they're not strong on figures, but they're not bad just when judged on their face. Maybe timed out can get a piece at a price in race number 7. What are your numbers in here, my friend?
PTF, shocking that you went with an 80s rock band reference, My Roxy Girl. That's real shocking. I'm with 4 and 8 here. I like the other Chad. I think this one is really going to take to the dirt. Still improving. Still got some ways to go, but certainly going to be in the mix. I like the 4 to get in the number at the very least. I mean, this one's going to be, you know, first, second, third. And I'm with you on timed out. I think there's more there. I think when you watch the races back, you can tell that, you know, just didn't have it. We get some time off. I'm going to take a shot with Rudy off the long layoff. I'll tell you, though, this is a race. I love this race for the sheer fact. I don't like the short price horses. I don't like the Chad trying the first time dirt with a turf horse. No dirt really to speak of from the siblings. And he's got like 24 of them. Kept Waiting, I think, is a little dressed up. That's a weird move, especially when, you know, and Falcone's hot right now. I think Billy Mott, this one is just, you know, this one's falling off a cliff. And so the ones that are going to take money, I'm just not the world's biggest fan of. I think there might be, you might get a price here. So this one is going to be fun to bet, not only horizontally, but vertically. I'm with you, though, 4 and 8.
All right, let's talk about the featured race, 3-year-old New York bred fillies in the Franklin Square, 100,000 in the pot. We're going 6.5 on the dirt. Alan, who do you like in here?
You already know. You already know. Okay, let me tell you.
We're going to be on the same horse here, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to be on the same one. If you're a horse racing fan, if you own horses in the New York metro state area or the great state of Kentucky, you are a mental patient if you're not with Ray Handel. If you're not giving him your horse right now, seek treatment, okay? You don't know what you're doing.
Oh, my goodness.
This guy is
he's good.
Fire. He's phenomenal. Some people are saying we should just start naming the trainer award the Ray Handel Award. Some people are saying that.
Is one of those people you, Alan?
Yes, I'm one of those people. Just checking. I love Ray. Ray's a great friend.
Did you hear when he was on the show? Did you hear his appearance a few weeks ago? He was fantastic.
Yes. Well, you know, hey, I'm, you know, as his pseudo agent, I'm expecting my kickback any day now for helping that. But look, Ray's a great friend. He's a great trainer, and it's great to see him having a great meet. He's hitting at just about 20%. I'm going to round up because he's my boy. But I asked him about the 9 horse in here, thinking it over. And he's like, look, you know, this one's training well, and he really likes to post. And he's not the type of guy that's going to he'll shoot you straight. He's not going to, you know, oh, I think I got a shot, but I really don't got a shot. He's not that kind of guy. He'll tell you honestly what's going on. And I think he feels good. And this is a good spot for him to get a stakes victory here. I think the other one you got to consider if you're against our boy Ray here, which seek treatment once again, Lelou for Dugan is going to be real tough. I mean, this one's got some talent, it looks like. So I think it's between them. But with the post, I think it's just going to be really advantageous. I agree with Ray Handel to win. Just single. Give me 9 with a bullet.
Oh, my goodness. Thinking it over makes all the sense in the world for a host of reasons, not just the trainer angle. She took a lot of money on debut, though, for a Ray Handel first-time starter because it's not, you know, he's not a crank-em-up first-out guy. They typically get a lot better between starts 1 and 2. And if that happens for thinking it over, the race may just be over. And I think the point about the post is key. I had in my notes as well that I think she's going to get a great trip from the outside draw at this distance. One that you didn't mention that I will have as a backup. I'm not going to be as bold as you. I will have some backups in here. The two, she's a wild joker. Same angle we talked about earlier. The field's lone two-time winner. Maybe a little bit of a class edge too. Already a stakes winner. Definitely one at least for your exotics mix. And then you mentioned Lilu, romped in the mud to win the maiden. That race has produced good form. Should be positioned in front of the top pick. Also a win candidate. I'm mostly the nine. You know, the nine is a lone A, but backing up with the two and the six as we move to our nightcap. Three-year-old New York bred quarter maiden claimers, six on the dirt. How are we going to get paid?
Yeah. The last race of the day in New York, always electric. This one, I everybody's going to go to Kuzmin, the 10, and I think you got to use it. I mean, you just go watch the film. And
I was hoping that that David was right. I mean, I latched onto this horse partially at 8-1 morning line, but you think we're not seeing it, huh?
Yeah. Good luck with that. I got a bridge to sell you, too, in Schenectady.
Is this everybody's best bet or something? You know,
I think so. Okay. I think as soon as you turn on the film, it's, 4-1, 3-1. You'll probably get something like that. I wanted to include the four Wine-tastic, partly because I'm a wino. And
I thought it was because you're so apt to wine, but it's a
problem, Pete. I'm seeing somebody. I think this one, Freud on the dirt is actually pretty decent numbers. It's actually pretty solid numbers. And this one that's got some siblings that have shown some, aptitude on the dirt, some high 50s, low 60 buyers. And don't get me wrong. If somebody runs like a 58 or 59 buyer in here, they're going to look like gun runner. Okay. Second coming. So I'll take a shot with the four. Cause you'll get every bit of that 8-1. And I guess, I guess Silver Samurai, but I don't like the rail here. I mean, if you just want it to be super safe, obviously I think Pickett, I mean, that bullet work back on New Year's Eve, you're going to get your 2-1. But I'm going to lean more heavily towards the 4 and the 10. I guess the 1 and 3 make sense too. But yeah, I'm going to try and toss them. I'm going to try and win big bucks. So I'm going to list them as horse to a handle.
I like it. I'll list them as C's for you, though, the 1 and the 3. You talked about them enough that I feel like we'll put them in there at that level. We'll give you the 4 and the 10. Yeah, I went with Kuzmin, the big drop into Maiden Claim and Company, first start as a gelding, not just a hunch play for old school Mets fans like me. And I'll say this in all seriousness. If we're right about this horse catching all kinds of money, international listeners who are able to get down with fixed odds, look at the books when they price this race up on Saturday and see if maybe you can get something closer to that 8-10-1, whatever they're going to open this thing at. Cause a lot of them, sometimes the steam hits a little bit later.
Rob Dove's going to be all over.
One of the top 10 pro punters in the UK today.
That's what I've read. I've read that. Yeah.
Number 8, My Last Mission. This is another maiden special weight dropper. I want to have on some tickets. Might've been on the wrong part of the track last time and just, potential class angle. And then I'm sort of with you on Silver Samurai. I'm not super excited about betting the horse, dropping again, second try off the layoff. But this horse has run well enough that he's going to make this condition soon, and I have to list as at least a backup in this spot. That's it, Alan. You've done what you can do. We've got our next guest standing by. You made fun of me. I'm going to kick you out of here.
All right. Well, yeah, the real talent at Sam Houston, not that bum Nick Tamrell. You're finally moving up. Hey, Pete. Congrats again, brother. Odds on is truth, folks. NFL, wildcard playoffs, everything you need. Odds on is truth. Go hit us up.
Check it out. You should be subscribed. You should be checking it out on the main feed. You guys have been giving out nothing but winners. And it pains me to say this, but you in particular have a pretty nice little
moment. 0-2 in college basketball the last week and a half. I'm making Matt Bernier blush as we speak.
Get out of here. We'll talk soon.
See you, man.
Okay, and the newsletter, right?
Yeah, let's do a little newsletter pop. Today's show brought to you in part by the In the Money Media free newsletter, the best way to keep track of all the content we have cooking on the In the Money Media Network. Also, we'll give a quick shout out to In the Money Plus. You'll hear about In the Money Plus elsewhere in the show. We're doing a free preview this weekend. We got a lot of cool stuff coming up. If you want to sign up for In the Money Plus directly, you can do that, inthemoneypodcast.com/plus. But in any case, we heartily encourage you to sign up for our free newsletter. You can do that, inthemoneypodcast.com/email.
Okay, that should be everything.
Yeah, it's done. We'll segue right away. She's already been sort of pre-introduced by our man, Alan. So great to have back on the airwaves talking about Sam Houston that had such a great opening weekend. She's been doing great with her picks down there and providing all manner of coverage. Jessica Paquette, how are things, my friend?
Everything's great. How about you? Happy Friday. It's Friday, right?
It is Friday. That's always a good thing. The show is well underway. A couple more things to record, but I feel almost on top of things for once, at least for this point of the year. Hey, I saw you out running, not in person, but via the magic of social media. How good did that feel to get out there running again?
It felt great. I mean, not physically. Physically, it felt like I've never run a step in my life. So that was humbling. I actually texted you the pictures of my last CAT scan. So one of my vertebrae is not like the others anymore. I'm about half an inch shorter these days. So good thing I was so tall to start with. But I am really thrilled to be back running, back riding. Just very grateful to be able to do the things.
That's awesome. And how's your experience been so far at Sam Houston? Obviously, it was a big opening weekend, making a splash, sort of getting a hold on the marketplace. I assume you're having fun with it.
Oh, it's so much fun. It's such a great little track. For me, it reminds me so much of Rockingham Park. And I mean that in the most complimentary way possible. Like it's kind of a low set grandstand. So it looks like Rockingham. And then you add in Friday night racing and it feels like home.
Love it. Well, it's great to hear. And I want to try to see if I can get down there at some point during this meet. There's a world in which it can happen. Hopefully it'll be one of the times when you're there
in person.
Yeah.
So I'll be there Ladies Classic weekend as well as Texas Preview Day and then Texas Champions Day.
Right.
Just think about the wardrobe fun we could have on a week for Texas Breads. Just think about the hat and boot possibilities. Like that alone should be enough to get you down there.
I do have a Stetson around here somewhere. I always feel a little bit like an imposter when I go cowboy hat instead of fedora. But I think when in Rome, it might just be the right thing to do.
I have a great pair of cowboy boots I bought years ago that have never been appropriate to wear in any context in my life in New England. So I'm so excited to finally wear them.
That's fantastic. It's good when those old investments start paying dividends. Hopefully we can make some investments on this Saturday Sam Houston card that can do the same. We're going to kick off. We'll talk late pick five. Let's talk about race number five. We've got the four and up Filly and mare allowance types going a mile on the turf. How shall we light this candle?
So I love this race number five to start the pick five. The turf racing at Sam Houston is crazy competitive. And one thing I did learn in all my time at Suffolk Downs, aside from becoming the master of cheap horses, which is a great skill to have, horses for the course matter. There are some horses that just love a certain turf course. The Suffolk turf course was notoriously tricky. Sam Houston's is a little more straightforward, but I always do give a little bit more credence to a horse that likes the course. 10 to 1 morning line. We might have to give the odds maker a little bit of heat for this one. That's a steal if we can get that on leather and lace number two. She's a 4-time winner at Sam Houston on the turf. I don't care about that last race. I understand it was not good. It was not on the grass. This seems to be the kind of horse that really will not pick up her feet if she's not on the turf. And I think she's able to rebound, go back to form, back on the Sam Houston turf course.
All right. Leather and lace at a pleasing 10 to 1. Anything you're interested in to come with or just all about the deuce for you?
I mean, she's really the anchor for me, but I do also like number five, Shirley's Temple. You think of Stuart Elliott and you think of riding for Steve Asmussen. Of course, they are always leading connections at Sam Houston, but he also rides a lot of live horses for Mindy Willis as well. And I think this filly, she is coming in off a bit of a layoff. She looks very well meant here.
I had a goofy idea that you can tell me if I'm like it or not. But I was going to play Zoom Up number 3.
Elaine Lussie is on fire. I will not tell you. I will not tell you you're crazy for that. Okay. Go for it.
And then just looking, poking around the pedigree. Now, it's interesting that this one obviously never set foot on turf and has been entered as an MTO and some other signs that make it sound like maybe turf is not going to be Zoom Up's thing. But looking at Open Agenda, the Dam ran the fastest race of her career on turf, has a sibling, What's on the Agenda, who was very good turf sprinting. Mm-hmm. And What's the Agenda was by Dialed In, so it's not like it was some major turf influence. I think she can get a good forward sit in here and possibly be heard from late. I love your case on Leather and Lace. In my original reckoning, I was just going to back up with the sort of Master of the Obvious 4 and 5. But yeah, maybe we can get a price in here to kick things off in this.
I think these turf races are the place to get them. If you're looking, building kind of a multi-race wage, a horizontal ticket, and again, 12% takeout. Cannot stress that enough. I'm a good company man.
We can beat this favorite too, right? I mean, live, but not exciting at that.
Not a world beater and not unbeatable by any stretch. And I think the turf races are where you're going to get maybe some more value. You might have to eat some chalk later on.
Well, let's talk about race number 6 and see where we are with those 3-year-old maidens going 1 mile on the dirt. I'll kick this one off. I wish I had something a little more exciting than to talk about the morning line favorite, but Magazine Street, I thought, made plenty of sense. Tough trip last time against what I thought was a better field. Timeform US had that race rating as a 98, and this is a 75. Looking at pace figures, Magazine Street's supposed to be forward. I was definitely going to have 7s. The 1 Vienna Prize, that was a useful-looking debut, passing some tired runners, should be able to come on for that run. And I guess the morning line favorite is actually the 2, who I do not trust class-wise, but certainly fits on that fig. I was going to play it 7-1-2, just sort of try to survive in advance. Did you have anything clever in here?
I think Magazine Street, the 7, is a little bit tough to get past here. 2 times this horse has not been that great at the gate, though. So, you know, this is the third. If this horse breaks slowly or breaks poorly one more time, I'm sort of done with him. It is, especially for a horse from Steve Asmussen's barn breaking poorly, you don't really see those lag at the gate all that often. So he had to, I mean, they usually break a lot sharper than this one has been. That said, I'm a little interested in Country Cut. Bless Nick having to call that horse in the race. That one just opens it up to a lot of stumbles for me. That is not a horse I would want to call in a race.
Yeah, you don't need that one in a stretch duel.
You don't want to be YouTube famous for that.
No, definitely not.
So the 6, I think, is interesting on the stretch out. Gormley, I thought, was actually an interesting sort of horse, and has turned out to be more of a sire than I thought he'd be. Definitely a 2-turn type. Stormy Atlantic mare. I know this horse's one time going a route wasn't that great, but sloppy track, you know, he was 2 then. I'm interested in this one.
All right. I like that idea as a potential exacta partner, and you make great points about Magazine Street. We'll see if those breaking issues are behind him. If so, the rest might be running for 2nd in that spot. Race number 7, we've got $15,000 claimers, 7 furlongs on the dirt. How are we going to get through this leg?
So it's tough for me to get past the heavy favorite, and that's the 2B Rosie's Outlaw for Carl Broberg. This is a trainer, runs them where they can win, strike when the iron's hot. This horse is wheeling right back after a good effort. I think he's tough. I think sometimes these cheaper claimers, you know, you can get a few good races out of a row, out of them. That said, I know Rosie's Outlaw, the Broberg entry, looks very tough here. On the outside, number 8, that's Remember Me, Tony. I'm a big Scott Young fan. I know he's kind of gone over whatever so far this season. But this horse has a little class. Ran well enough here at one time. Has been a productive, useful type of horse. And the Scott Young horses typically get really overlooked at the windows. And last year, he had a couple of big long shots. This one, I will not leave off a ticket. I'm kind of using everywhere.
I like that case. Just looking at pace figures and the kind of trip that Remember Me Tony's going to get, that's very logical to me. I went with a backup pick to Rosie's Outlaw under similar logic of just placement in the race and what kind of trip. But I couldn't get past the figure and form edge that Rosie's Outlaw seems to have. And yeah, it's a wheel back, but Broberg does this.
Yeah, that's totally par for the course. There's nothing unusual about this.
Yeah.
And I have no issue with a horse running back on short rest, honestly. It's a real horse by horse thing. Some thrive under that sort of conditioning. Some don't.
I was going to use the 5 Need a Better Jock, cheeky name.
What a great name.
Yeah.
My horse thinks every day.
This one won the last time in for a tag. And again, I think just looking at pace figures, shouldn't be too far back, has a little bit of finish, has some back races fast enough if the top one doesn't show up. And I will say that sometimes these wheelback types can be a little winner run outy, you know, and if that's the case.
Well, I think Rosie's Outlaw wins or is nowhere to be seen. It's all or nothing here. And you kind of need to choose which one you're going with.
But I like the idea of putting the 5 and the 8 potentially in the mix in behind, or maybe as a little bit of a horizontal saver. Let's talk race 8, 4 and up filly and mare allowance types going 1 mile on the turf. I am also a little master of the obvious in this one. The 5 Spanx Legacy, last seen running a little below par back in October, but that was when the Asmussen barn was not in good form. And even on that race, she fits. See what I did there? Very well with this group. And I suspect that Spanx Legacy is a little bit better than that run. Good trip from the top half of the field. And then the logical alternative for me was the 2 Quinella. Just utterly logical. Numbers from 2 and 3 back put right there, saving ground, should get a good trip, I think. I had it 5-2. How did you see this one?
Obviously, Spanx Legacy makes a ton of sense here. But the thing with these races at Sam Houston, with Steve Asmussen having so many, and they're often a very short price. For me, I have to like pick my spots, which ones you use, which ones you try to beat. I think this one's a little bit vulnerable. I do like Quinella. Again, Ronnie Craven's barn off to a really good start. Useful, just a kind of honest, consistent kind of mare. I am going for a bit of a, I'm trying to be clever with a long shot here, and that's the 8 Martz's May. She's been on the shelf since September, but had 2 very good efforts locally last year. I think she's one that gets overlooked again, the Scott Young barn. No problem with them coming back off of a layoff as well. I saw a couple of his horses last week in person when I was at Sam Houston. Very impressed with the conditioning. They were some of the physical, routinely, the horses from his barn I saw were some of the physical standouts.
That's a good point about the horse for course angle. And this is a runner, Martz's May, who was 2nd at big prices, 37-1 and 7-1. Sometimes I feel like sometimes you see that in particular with horses for courses. They're not the shorties who are laid out for that race. There's, for whatever reason, they do well at the place and they outrun their odds. And you can see that when you go back and you look at the PPs. How would you mentioned 3 numbers. How would you rank the 2, 8, and 5 in this spot?
You know, I'm going to use Martz's May on top, kind of in my, for a win bet here, then use her with Quinella, over Quinella, and Spanx Legacy underneath. But I'm going to leave Spanx Legacy off my horizontals, trying to save a little money.
All kinds of puns. Spanx Legacy fitting underneath it. It just, you know, you could go down a Spanx Legacy rabbit hole here if you're really good. Let's talk about race number 9, 3-year-old maiden colts going 1 mile on the dirt. Jess, how are we going to get paid?
This is interesting, right? I think this is a solid field. We have a couple of horses for the Asmussen barn. Obviously, number 2, Teo, is the more logical with Stuart Elliott aboard. He's the first call rider. You have to think he had his pick of these two. I'm a little interested in the first-time starter for Carl Broberg. Now, this isn't a barn that I really think of as like having these debut runners or homebreds or anything. I think of him more as a, you know, claiming guy and moving horses up. But this horse has some nice pedigree. English Channel out of a Malibu Moon mare. The dam was a minor stakes winner going long on the turf. I have to wonder if this one maybe finds his footing on the grass at some point. But she's been a useful producer. Lane Luzzi has been kind of on fire the past couple of days. And Malibu Channel might be an interesting price. One of my stronger opinions on the card, to be honest.
I like that. I like that idea very much. 7-2 for you to close things out?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, I like it. I put Big Bernie on top. I mean, not exciting. Just of the ones who've run obvious on figures, looked a clear choice of the ones we've seen something for. Teo, the 2, makes all the sense in the world. Cost 230. Cairo Prince, slightly above average with firsters. 4 of the Sibs. This was an interesting one where the siblings hadn't won first out, but I went and was looking at the figures that they ran, and four of the five ran figures I think would probably win this race. And then just for a little more fun, I think of Asmussen in Saratoga or in New York in general as considerably better second out than first out. Sure. But it was interesting looking at the numbers. His overall numbers with firsters, 17% win, 39% in the money. But then filtering just for Sam Houston, that improved to 24% and 53% in the money. I'm not scared about using him first out, I guess.
No, not at all. And especially I think with some of them, it's not applicable in this race, but you see a lot of these well-bred fillies come get their maiden win and then go off to a different career with a listed as a winner in their broodmare book.
Yep. That makes all the sense in the world to try to think about it from that industry perspective. Where can we find more from you on Sam Houston this weekend? Give folks some direction here.
At JM Paquette on Twitter. My little 2-minute clips will be up on the Sam Houston Twitter account as well. Hopefully we'll have some winners and have some fun.
I love it. We'll have you back very soon. And we're going to be doing a ton more with Sam Houston this meet. Really looking forward to it, my friend. And enjoy your runs. Surely your second off the layoff run, you will feel better than the first, right?
I've already done second off the layoff because I have no impulse control and am trying desperately to follow all my doctor's orders with only minor non-compliance.
How did it feel?
I wouldn't mind a little of the salon pass from the from Jimmy Barnes if there's any hanging around.
Oh my goodness gracious! Give yourself time, my friend. You don't want to hit this too hard, too fast. But we'll follow your progress on Twitter. We'll follow your picks on Twitter, and we'll talk to you again on here very soon. That's going to do it for this edition of the show. We'd like to thank Jessica and thank Alan, and we'll thank Matt Bernier. How cool is it to have him back in action? Who else are we going to thank? How about producer Craig doing excellent work as always? Our founding partners, 10 Strike Racing. I really got to get my 10 strike win photo with long on value in frame back here. That would be a very easy thing to do. Then I could just point at it every week. But you know how we root for the purple and black around here. Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, a handful of bottles left. We are down to the last case if you're interested in getting either the signed Woodford bottle or the In the Money whiskey, which you see over there, 4 months in apple brandy barrels after 4 months aging as a Empire Rye. You're going to want to check that out as well. trfinc.org/players. Thanks, though, most of all to all of you, the listeners, for making these shows so much fun to do. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos!